Well, God bless you, saints. I haven't shared a testimony in quite a while. I'm going to share a testimony, maybe a couple, of some of those things that people just kind of think are impossible, you know. They get weighed down by the things that they see with their eyes and forget to believe God's word. Remember Joshua and Caleb, right? Entering into the promised land because they believed God. And the rest of them didn't. It just looked impossible. They had their eyes on the giants, you know. Believed the bad report, right? But we got to become like a child, don't we? You know, the spiritual rules the physical. And those walking in the spirit do too. Without God's grace, even the normally most faithful of us will fail to see results. It all depends on God's grace. God gives grace to those that walk by faith, and people who have faith generally are in right standing with God, because if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God, right? So I say, consider where we're going, saints. We're going to a place where the curse is going to run rampant on this earth. And we need faith, and we need holiness, and we need that possibility thinking, right? Well, Miss Winnie Wood from South Africa sent this testimony to us. And it's all about believing God for a lame man. Winnie said, I'm a nurse in South Africa. My agent sent me to an elderly patient's home. He was in a wheelchair, and my job was to look after him and give him his medication. When I met him, he told me that he was in a wheelchair for some years. And then I asked him what he would like me to do for him. And he answered me and said, without hesitation, that he wanted to walk again. Strange thing for a man to say to a nurse, right? I asked him if he believed in God, and he said, yes. I told him, well, let's see what God can do, because I'm also a believer. Well, it was hard, and God was with me. He gave me the strength to help my patient. I prayed, and I put God first in my nursing. I shed tears for my patients. Then I told this patient to stand up from the table. He looked at me, and I told him to put his hands on the table. I then removed his wheelchair. He started to walk slowly, and from there he got his movement back in his legs. He didn't need me anymore. Worked herself right out of a job, didn't she? I think there's a lot of that coming down the road, saints. You just got to believe, you know, that that's what God's got you there for, you know, to be a witness to the world, a witness of Jesus Christ. Now, what would Jesus do? He'd have done just what Winnie did, wouldn't he? Yeah. He didn't need me anymore. His family could not believe it. They thanked me. They told me to... I told them to thank God, because with God, everything is possible. Everything. So true. If you have faith and believe, right? That's God's condition. And we serve an awesome God, Winnie said. And I believe it. Have you ever just meditated on what is it that God has to physically do to create a miracle like this? I'm talking about a creative miracle where somebody hadn't walked in years and the muscles are all gone and the nerves weren't working in the first place. If they could have got out of bed, they would have done it by themselves before, but they weren't able to. And just needed somebody to add their faith to theirs, right? If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven, right? It seems so simple. And if we are walking holy with God and we have compassion for people and we know that God has sent us there to do these things, any other nurse probably wouldn't have done that. But we know God. We know what He's done. We know what He's shown us. We know what His Word says. And we know He sent us. And so that should be enough. But our natural mind weighs us down with thoughts of, how can God do that? Well, we don't know, and it really doesn't matter. But just think on what God does do when a creative miracle is done. He changes the physical. The physical is no problem for Him. The spiritual rules the physical. And of course, those who are spiritual do too. Well, a very similar thing happened to me. I was praying with my boys when they were younger as they went to bed. And I said, boys, let's command Pawpaw to walk in Jesus' name. So I spoke it, and they agreed with me because they had seen many healings, you know. Well, Pawpaw was at the top of the country, and we was at the bottom of the country, you know. It didn't make any difference. Distance doesn't mean a thing. But something happened. About a week later, my dad called me and said that something miraculous happened to him the week before, which was when we prayed. When he woke up, he didn't think of reaching for his wheelchair, but just sat up, spun around, put his feet on the floor like he would have done before, and stood up and walked. And then he realized that he wasn't supposed to be able to do this. You know, God can just block your old thinking, you know. My dad wasn't really versed in the Bible. But he had seen a miracle before in his life. But anyway, when he called me, I told him that the night before this happened to him, the boys and I agreed that he would walk. And I commanded it to happen. Well, isn't it what Jesus said? Our Jesus. You know, we have to become as a child, don't we? Jesus said it, and I believe it, right? Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Or actually, it actually says, have the faith of God. You know how we have the faith of God? Well, because Jesus made reconciliation for us. According to Colossians, that means He made an exchange of our sins, our sinful thoughts, our fallen creation. That was all nailed on the cross. And what He gave us was Himself. And Jesus has plenty of faith. We do too now, because He made reconciliation, which means an exchange. He exchanged His life for ours. Right? Have the faith of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them. It's literally received them, because it happened at the cross. Even the received text has a footnote where the original is received, right? Believe that ye received them, and ye shall have them. Oh, glory be to God. Well, he had had an experience years before this of the power of God, because one day he was sitting in my living room, somewhat inebriated, and crying, and wanting to get delivered from alcoholism. Well, he had the foggiest idea what I was going to do, but I had compassion on him, and I laid my hands on his head, and I commanded the spirit of alcoholism to loose him and go from him in the name of Jesus. I was a young Christian at the time. He didn't know there was such a power that could happen. It was just by my faith that the Lord was doing it. And, you know, at this time, he had gone everywhere looking for deliverance from this. He went to AA. He went to the doctors. He went to everything he could think of. He tried to get rid of it. But nothing could help him. And a simple command of laying on of hands on his head did it. And my dad was not born again at the time. He did not know the power of God. He found out right there. And I got to tell you, he would tell anyone after that that God delivered him from alcoholism when everything else failed. Ain't God great? So I know that what Winnie says is the way of the Lord. And of course, we've had other miracles like that. God is awesome. I want to share another testimony that has everything to do with God taking authority over the physical. And I know it's true too, because the same thing happened to me. And this was Sandy Shaw's testimony that she shared in our assembly a couple of years ago, I think. Maybe 3 years ago. She said, one summer, Audrey and I were delivering newspapers. I remember that. And we came to this house off the highway that had a circle driveway. The driveway came out to a highway. And when I stopped, my flip-flop sandal had gotten stuck to the accelerator. Well, that's a dangerous thing to do, isn't it? And gave the car gas to go. So we started forward. Halfway on the highway, and Audrey let out a scream. And I looked outside the window on the driver's side, and our car was about to hit us. She said the car was coming straight at them. It was very close. And it was coming from the driver's side. And then it passed right through us. He said, David, do you expect me to believe that? Yeah, I do. It passed right through us. The car didn't swerve or put on its brakes, because obviously she just jumped right out in front of it. It just kept on going. Immediately, my mind said, that just couldn't happen. That had to be a near miss. Some kind of way. Yeah, that's your mind. It's just warring against your spirit all the time, right? You can see it happen right in front of you and not believe it, you know? That just couldn't happen, she said. Had to be a near miss. Well, then Audrey opened her eyes and said, what happened? That car should have hit us. And I said, it came close, but it obviously didn't hit us. God's angels were around us and apparently granted us traveling mercies. Well, that night, God just wasn't going to let the devil steal the glory. That night, God gave me a dream of what happened. How about that, right? The mind, the carnal mind, talked her out of it. Audrey knew something was wrong. But the carnal mind talked her out of it. But the Lord just wasn't going to let the devil get away with it. He gave her a dream of what happened. I could see me and Audrey in the car. And everything happened just like it did. But in the dream, I saw it from over the top of the car. And the car went right through us. So I give God the glory for His traveling mercies. Well, amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. And as I said, Sandy and Audrey, I shared this miracle with our assembly right after it happened. And you say, "You believe that, David? You're dumber than a brick." Well, no, I believe it because it happened to me. I think I shared this with you before, but I'm going to try to share it more carefully because I think some people did not understand it. Last winter, Michael and I were up here stuck on the hill because it snowed, and our driveway is a long, blacktop, windy driveway going down the side of this mountain, and it snowed and it iced, and we were hearing that there was a lot of ice on the roads and stuff. And so we waited a little while, and we decided, which was really actually a mistake because the road going out had snow on it, and it got packed down, and then it turned to ice. So we really didn't know what was out there. And we figured if we just got on our driveway and started on down, we would slide down like a big slalom, you know, and really wreck the truck. So when we went to get in the truck, I just prayed a real quick prayer. I said, "Lord, please don't let any dents come in this truck today." So we got in Michael's Chevrolet pickup, two-wheel drive, and we decided we were going to put a couple of wheels off of the driveway and a couple on the driveway. A couple in the rough because we thought maybe we could stop the vehicle if it started to slide better that way. And so we worked our way down, and every once in a while we would kind of wobble back and forth because one side would slide or the other side would slide. But we were going slow. We made it on down to the bottom of our mountain. But we were connected to another mountain right next to us. And so we drive on around on what was relatively flat at the bottom of the mountain, and we got to a very slow hill on the other side, climbing up that side. And we got to the top of the cell tower mountain, we call it, because there's a big cell tower on the left. And there, it was a really steep road there. It went down, and it curved to the right, and it hit another road down there and went out to the highway. And so we were creeping down it, just trying not to put on the brakes, but just trying to just hold steady, just steady. Move real slow, you know. We thought maybe we could make it to the ditch, you know, if we didn't. I mean, the ditch was a little deep for you to stick two wheels in it, but on one side, and on the other side it was very deep because it was just a drop off, you know. There was a big gully there on the right and a ditch on the left. And so we were just easing down this. And we got part way down it, and we saw this guy taking a run at the hill from the other side. He had a four-wheel drive pickup. He was taking a run at our hill that we were on, and he saw us creeping down it, and he figured he might not get by us because he can't steer very good on ice, you know. So he stopped, and he eased back down, parked at the bottom, started walking up in the ditch because the road was real slick. He started walking up, and got up to our beside us, and he said, "Hey, you got four-wheel drive?" We said, "No." He said, "Well, you're going to end up right down in that hollow down there," because the road was banked to the right, and it was just natural on ice. You would slide to the low side and just ride on off in the hollow. And actually, when we came back, there was a car down in there, a very nice, expensive car down in that hollow. And he said, "You're going to end up down there, because that's where I just got pulled out of." And, of course, we did not agree with him. And we did not. We did not end up in that hollow. And so we crept on down very slowly and carefully. And, well, lo and behold, we got out. We went and did our business that we had to do in town. You know, picked up some things, food, did some mail. I had to get some mail out, so on and so forth. And we came back to and turned off the highway on a road that leads back to that same place where we eased down the cell tower mountain. And we actually, when we turned off the road, we noticed cars parked out on the road, meaning they did not try to make it up the hill, you know. So we was very brave, and so we had a plan, because what it was, we had to go down into a hole and then turn to the left and start up the same cell tower mountain that we had come down successfully just a little while before. But now it was even more packed, and there was a car down in that hollow. So he didn't make it. And we actually, when we got up there, we could see how it swapped ends, flipped around, ended up down in that hole. You could just see all the marks up there, you know. Hit a tree and went down in that hole. But before we got that far, we formulated a plan. I was going to get out and go down in the hole, because the road passes by the end of the road that goes up the cell tower road. It just keeps on going, but it turns to the right, and you can't see when cars were coming. So I told Michael, I said, "Michael, I'm going to get down there at the bottom, and I'll flag you when I don't see any cars coming. And you take a run at it." Well, he had to run down the hole, jog to the left, and then it kind of straightened out, and then it made a left-hand turn and went up the cell tower mountain. Okay? So I went down there, and I waited till there was no cars, and I flagged him, and he come flying through there. And I saw another car that had failed on the cell tower mountain on the right-hand side of the road. They just parked it on the right-hand side of the road, because they obviously couldn't get any further. Well, Michael did an excellent job. Just excellent. He hit that bank there, and he turned, and everything was cool. He was just doing real good. He passed up that car on the right, missed the car, which is pretty good. He missed the car, because it was on the right-hand side of the road, you see. He missed the car, he made it on up, and then he stopped. Well, he didn't stop. It stopped. It just would not go any further. And he was probably about, maybe three-quarters of the way up the mountain. And it was a pretty steep, pretty sharp incline. So I started walking up there. I had to walk in the ditch to keep from slipping and sliding and breaking my neck. And I walked up there beside the truck and looked in there at him. I says, "You can't go any further?" He said, "No, it's just stopped right here. Wouldn't go no further." He said, "I'll try it again." So that's where I made my mistake. I got in the truck with him. And so he started to ease into, and it might have moved an inch or two. But then it started sliding backwards. And we just looked at each other, and we just had the feeling that this thing wasn't going to stop. Brakes weren't doing any good. It started sliding backwards, and we just started praying. Me and Michael started praying. We started praying prayers like, Lord, you said your power was made perfect in weakness. Well, we're mighty weak here. We need some help. And all this while we were sliding backwards and picking up speed. And, well, the truck started turning sideways. Kind of like we saw the tracks of the car that ended up down in the hole, in the gully. And we prayed. And we spoke in tongues. And we prayed. And the truck turned sideways to the road, and it was coming down the road sideways. And Michael said he looked over there and he saw that car that was parked on the side of the road. He just knew we were going to hit it. He said, and I did too. I just knew we were going to hit that car. We were covering most of the road. Tennessee roads are not very wide anyway. And when you turn sideways, you just about got the whole road covered. In a lot of places, if you're not out on a main road, you know. And, I mean, they don't even put street signs up, you know. Anyway, we're sliding towards that car. But Michael's looking down at the bottom of the hill because there's an L turn there. And that road that went through was much lower at the end of the straight part of our L. And we really didn't have much hope of actually making the curve, you know, because we were sliding, no steering whatsoever. So he's looking at a cliff there that we're headed right straight towards. And I'm looking at this car. And the front end of this truck was definitely going to smash that car. And then we probably would have turned a flip or two as we were going down the hill, no telling where we would end up, you know. Maybe in the hollow, like the guy said in the first place, you know. So it was headed right straight towards it. And I'm looking at it out the front of the vehicle as it passes what looked like much closer to the windshield than normal. And I'm looking at this and saying, I guess I had the same kind of feeling as Sandy had. What just happened? What is happening here, you know? And so we remember my prayer now. Lord, I ask you not to let a dent get in this truck today. Well, he didn't let a dent get in that truck, miraculously. So, it passed, the front end of that truck passed through that car. And I hesitate to say that to normally minded people because nobody would believe it, you know. But we had the proof because as we passed through that car, the truck started turning back in the direction that it came up the hill in the first place with the windshield uphill and the back bumper downhill. It turned as we passed through that car and started sliding just straight backwards, straight towards that cliff. And we were still praying. Well, it slid. Remember, it's an L turn there and right in that turn is where that cliff is, you know. So it slid up to that cliff and stopped. And we couldn't figure out why other than the fact we were calling upon God, you know. So I jumped out of the passenger side and went back there and looked and I said, Michael, you need to get out here. You ain't going to believe this because the back tread of the back tire was right on the edge. I mean, there was an inch or so before the drop-off. I said, you ain't going to believe this. He said, I'm not turning loose of this wheel or these brakes. I says, okay. So I looked over in the back of the truck, and I saw a 4x4 in there. And I told him, I said, well, you try to inch forward, and I'll throw the 4x4 behind the wheel. I'll chock it every time you ease forward. He said, okay. But because right in the corner there, in the curve there, just a little higher up, was a driveway, a rock driveway. And some of the rocks actually had come out on the road a little bit. The normal traffic in and out at some of the it was crushed granite is what it was. It wasn't the round kind of rocks because they won't help you much. But it was a little bit of that gray crushed granite out there on the road. And he was easing over towards that to try to get his wheels on that, you know. And every time he'd move a little bit, I'd throw the chock in there, and he'd do it again. I'd push and so on and so forth. And we finally got the thing over on that driveway and just parked it. And we started walking on up the hill. Well, when we got to that car, our tracks were in the loose snow that was right next to the car. And the tracks were right there on the car. They were right up next to the car where our wheels had slid by. The only thing is, the front of the truck hangs over the wheels by a foot and a half to 2 feet. And we were looking right straight at that car with the whole front end of the truck hanging over the front of the wheels, which slid right by that car. And we looked at that and we says, it was just kind of, wow, you know. You know what? God has absolute control over the physical. I know it's hard to believe, but it's happened to other people. And it happened to Sandy, and it happened to us. And the more we talked about that, the more we just were awed, you know, at what God had done. And both stopping the thing, first of all, it was a steady slope all the way down to that cliff. And we, with our velocity, we just couldn't imagine the thing stopping for any reason, really, except we were calling upon the Lord. And He stopped it. And He stopped it right on the edge. And He did that on purpose. He wanted us to know it was Him. And He wanted us to see those tracks as we went up there because I was trying to talk myself out of it, just like Sandy was. And God's awesome. We need to know that He can do anything where we're going because we're going to see impossible situations, worse than people in wheelchairs. We're going to see impossible situations. Now God can make you pass through vehicles, or He can make your vehicle totally invincible. Now, I shared this with you many years ago, how that I'd call my insurance agent in when I was convicted that the Lord didn't want me to have insurance. He wanted me to have assurance. He wanted me to believe what the Bible said and to pray and ask Him to keep my vehicles and keep my house, etc., etc. Back in those days, it was legal not to have insurance. And I'd call my Lutheran friend in who had handled all of my insurance in those days, house, car, and everything. And I told him, I'm dropping my insurance. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, well, the Lord has impressed me. He was a Lutheran, but he didn't really know this kind of faith, you know. And I said, the Lord has impressed me that I'm supposed to have assurance from His Word and not insurance. And so I'm dropping it. And he couldn't talk me out of it, so we dropped it. And I think it was maybe a week or two later, I was driving our Datsun station wagon. which, as you know, is just a little tin box, to the local Stop and Go, which is just a little quickie market right down the road. And I pulled in there, got out, went inside. I was walking up and down the rows, which were just a little bit, you know, taller than my head, I guess. And I hear this boom, you know. And I look over the top of the row, standing on my tiptoes, and I'm looking at a guy out there that just ran into my car. And so I walked out there and walked up. He was standing. He had backed the car up just, I don't know, maybe a foot or so. And he was looking at the thing, and I looked at it too. And my jaw dropped, I'm telling you. While we were standing there looking at it, it had V'd the front end of his car in, the hood, all the way to the bumper. It had just notched it in. And I'm looking at my car, and he hit it on the corner of the box in the back, right on the corner with the wrap, where the wraparound tail lens is. And I reached my, while he was sitting there looking at it, I reached my thumb over and scraped his paint off of my plastic tail lens. Just a piece of plastic. I mean, God couldn't have done it any better, you know. I mean, he didn't even hit steel. He hit the plastic. And the steel wasn't much better, for goodness sake, on them things. And when I scraped that paint off, there was nothing else wrong with that car. So he had messed up the front of that old Buick. They were just steel everywhere, you know. He had done messed it up. He said he was sorry. He said he thinks his brakes failed. I don't know if it wasn't just God just wanting to show me something. You know? He was about to turn in to the, you know, the marked spots where they mark for cars, like I was in there, but he was coming right straight at me, and then he was going to turn in, and he didn't turn. He slammed right into the back of my car. And he said something like, "Well, they sure make them a lot better than they used to," which is crazy, totally crazy. And the guy just... he got in his car, and he just was leaving. He evidently, it just shook him up. He wasn't going to go in the store or nothing. He came there to go in the store, but he just got in his car and was leaving. And I thought, when he started pulling out of the parking lot there, I thought, man, I just missed a good chance. I need to catch him. So I jumped in the car, and I caught him at the railroad tracks. And there was a light there at the railroad tracks, and he was stopped. And I pulled up right behind him. And I reached in my glove box and pulled some tracks out. I jumped out of my car, and I went up alongside of him. And I'm telling you the truth. The guy was getting ready to spit out the window. And when I walked up beside him, he spit all down the side of his window. He was just shook up. And I said, "Sir, you need to understand that that was a miracle." I said, "I didn't have any insurance on my car. I dropped the insurance on my car, and I was expecting God to protect my car. And that was a miracle." And he said, "It has to be. It has to be." And he drove on off, and I never saw him again, you know. But I thought, my God, you know, the Lord wants to prove himself to us, doesn't he? I said, my God. Look what you did, Lord. Look what you did. You made my tin box totally invincible, and his Buick tank took the whole brunt of it, you know? What can't God do? You know, I've been praying for vehicles for years, fixing vehicles, praying over them, and God fixing them, supernaturally doing physical things, overcoming physical problems, and people say, "I never thought about God doing anything like that," you know. And I've been doing that for years, and It's just astounding what God won't do if we can just hold on to childlike faith and not let our carnal mind talk us out of these things. I told you, I think, about my big station wagon I had when my kids were younger. We had to have a vehicle that would haul all of them. And I had been given this station wagon by the Lord. He paid for it. I asked him to buy us a new wagon when we came to Pensacola. And he did. I told you about the miracle wreck that we got in, that the guy was self-insured and he made sure we were blessed, and so we ended up with a brand new car. And I remember what I did that was wrong. I wanted to try out some slick 50 in that car, and they tell you you have to have so many miles on it before you put it in there or you'll break the rings. Well, I wanted to try it out pretty bad, so I put some in there a little bit ahead of time. And so we were all going on a preaching trip over to Texas. And we hadn't got far down the road, then I saw just a cloud of smoke coming out the back of the car, out the tailpipe. And I stopped the car and checked the oil, and the oil was down some. And I checked the PCV valve, thinking maybe it was sucking oil over in the crankcase, you know. And no, there was nothing wrong with that. I finally realized I have busted some rings in this car. And it was just pouring black smoke out the back. Well, so it wasn't nothing I can do. We just decided we were going to go on. And went down the road a little more, and sure enough, it was pouring out the back again. I stopped it and had to put a quart of oil in it. And I said to myself, I said, well, I'm just not going to do this, Lord. We just need you to fix this car. In the name of Jesus, I command this car to be fixed in Jesus' name. I command them rings to be fixed in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm thanking you for overhauling this engine right now. In the name of Jesus. And I'm not putting no more oil in this car. You know, God just gives you faith. You know, you can't claim nothing. We're nobody. We can't do anything without Him. But He gives you faith for His glory. You know? And so I hopped in and took off driving. At the first, it was still smoking. But it gradually got less and less and less and less until it wasn't smoking at all. And it didn't take long for that to happen, because I didn't ever put another quart of oil in that car. And we drove all the way to Texas and halfway across that state. And I was to preach in a friend I'd known years before in his church, and it was kind of a camp meeting thing, and it was myself and a couple other preachers there, you know. And I started off giving them a testimony about what God did to my car. And I could see they liked it, so I started giving them a bunch of other testimonies about a miraculous life. You know, seeing God do miracles and signs and wonders, and how God's power is made perfect in our weakness, and all the good things, you know. Just had an awesome time, and they just totally enjoyed it. And I was supposed to preach, and then these other guys were going to get up there and preach. And well, the other guys got talking, and they said, man, we just want this guy to continue. So they said, we're not going to preach. We want you to preach. So I says, okay. So I spent hours. It was late when I got through, and just sharing, you know, they were asking questions, and this anointing was there, just a powerful anointing. It was a blessing. And They were asking questions at the end. And that's where I got in trouble. Everything was just awesome, you know. Everybody was enjoying it, and it was just awesome, you know, till people started asking questions, you know. And the question that got me in trouble was, I forget exactly how he worded it, but it was all about tithing. And I started answering it as carefully as possible, trying to make sure I backed everything up real good, so hopefully everybody would receive and understand. Well, I didn't see any problems in the faces of the people, but my friend, who was the preacher, he was shuffling around in his seat, and he got very nervous, and he didn't look good. So, afterwards, you know, he wanted to talk to me, and he told me that he did not believe what I was saying there, and that that's really how he had received his income, is through tithing. I said, well, brother, which one of the verses that I shared didn't you believe, you know? I said, it's not like God's not going to take care of you, you know. I began to tell him how that God would take care of him even better because he wasn't putting people under the law. Well, he handed me the offering, and that was the end of that, you know. And actually, the man that actually put him in the ministry and ordained him was a prophet that I'd met many years before, who had prophesied over me, just the most powerful prophecy I believe I've ever received, actually. It was a really glorious and powerful prophecy about the things in my future, things that I hadn't seen yet. And they have come, and they are coming to pass. And about the wisdom that God was going to give me in the ministry and the great light that was going to go forth and a lot of really awesome things. Well, this guy evidently probably was still into the tithing thing too, I imagine. But he was totally impressed with me because I'd met him years before and because of what the Lord spoke through him concerning me. And that I was going to bring this light. Well, I tried to bring the light in this offshoot church from his ministry, you know, and it didn't work. And but anyway, God wanted me to have a witness and a testimony there with those people, so he did that. He did that miracle. We can't claim nothing. God, you know, God gives you faith. He don't have to give you faith. He might not give you faith the next time. You know, it's by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We got nothing to brag about. But I've seen lots of creative miracles, and, you know, since we're talking about automobiles, I might just share another one. Although I don't have much time here. I remember one time I was going to work. And I had to go early because I had to do a lot of preparation at work. I worked about, 25 miles away at the Exxon refinery. And my vehicle was out of gas. And I was just about to pass up the last service station. And actually, I'd planned to stop at this service station. It was right on the interstate before I got on the interstate, and the interstate took me all the way to Exxon. So, the Exxon refinery. So, I noticed that the lights were out because they weren't in business yet. They had not opened. So, I said, well, Lord, I'm just asking you to give me the gas I need. I forget now exactly what I said, but I just jumped up on the interstate by faith, you know. Well, my car was on empty, you know. So I asked the Lord to put some gas in my tank. that was one of quite a few times that I'd done that, and he had given it to me whenever I needed it, you know. And so when I did that, I mean, it wasn't like I'd cranked up the car close to the interstate. I mean, I lived a few miles from the interstate, but when I pulled up on there, on the interstate and leveled out, my gas gauge started to climb. I forget exactly how much it climbed, but he put quite a bit in my tank, but he didn't fill it up. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why didn't you just go ahead and fill it up? And I think I remember he said something like, well, I always give you what you need. And, you know, I learned that God can create gas in your gas tank. He can make your car invincible. I've learned that he can make other cars pass through your car. I'm learning that he has, there is nothing physical that is any hindrance to God or your faith. There's nothing. Nothing that I know of. And I do believe the answer is nothing, just from what I know of the scriptures, you know. So, other times when God put gas in my tank, I didn't see the gas gauge come up at all. In fact, it was pegged on empty. That time, he just wanted to encourage me that, you know, he had done a miracle there. So I could have driven on no gas. In fact, I know I've driven on no gas. And I remember Brother Kurt one time called me and asked me to come and get him, which was quite a few miles away, and I didn't have any gas in my tank, and it was pegged over on empty. And the thought came to me, well, give to him that asketh of thee. So I just took off, you know, empty car. And he had gotten off on the side of the road and gotten stuck and needed somebody to pull him out. And I went over there and pulled him out and came on back. Never ran out of gas. And other times, I've gone quite a few miles, good many miles, on empty. God's put gas in my tank. Yes, he has. But he's also caused my car to run on what appeared to be empty for long periods of time. And so far as I know, he never failed me. And I just want to give glory to God because He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I could share with you stories for quite a while, you know, of the things that the Lord has done for me. And you say, well, David, you're just a man of great faith. You got lots and lots of faith. Well, no, you know, the Bible says faith comes from God. There's no great men of faith. There is God giving a gift of faith to people. And if you ask God for faith, let me tell you that it is something that he's already given to you through the reconciliation. He's given you the faith that you need to supply your every need according to his riches and glory. And don't forget it. Just don't forget it. Everything else you need as far as holiness, righteousness, purity, deliverance, healing, it's all yours at the cross. You have been saved. Sozo. And believe me, you can go and check. I've taught on it before. That word covers everything. Spirit, soul, body, and circumstances. Anything that you need to be saved from, he did it. And one of the biggest hindrances to our faith is that we think some things are harder for God to do. And really, that's the only harder place is between our ears. You know, that's the only harder place right there. We think there are some things that the spirit realm doesn't really have total control over the physical. But that's a lie. That's a lie. Well, I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father, for being such an awesome, mighty God. Thank you for proving yourself to us, Lord, so that we can have confidence going into this tribulation that's coming here, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we give thanks to you for your awesomeness, your mighty power, your love for us, your provision for us. And Lord, I'm asking you to bless Michael Hare with this word he's fixing to bring to the brethren. Bless him mightily by your Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.